This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu. It's time for Tech Talk. Karmjit Singh from Digital News Asia here with us to give us an overview of the ecosystem, tech ecosystem. And the first story, a company with 77,000 employees and annual revenue of $12.7 billion. All right, why would they take a stake in a Malaysian-based regional company with a 2013 revenue of 3.7 million ringgit?
Yes, that's not billion, a million, exactly.
Ringgit,
right?
Ringgit.
Ringgit. So you've got this huge behemoth, right? And this, the company I'm talking about is NTT Data. And about 3 weeks ago, it was announced that they had taken a stake in a Malaysian online payment system provider called iPay88. Mm. And they had a press conference the day before yesterday. So now, you're right, huge. When you look at the numbers, right, between the two companies, it's just insane. Right. So why would this Japanese company, which is of course global, right, take a stake in this Malaysian company, which has a regional presence in the payment space? So according to NTT itself, they want to be able to position themselves squarely in the online payment space in Southeast Asia. Right. And they see iPay88 as having already established a very strong market presence. So iPay88 is actually in six of the main ASEAN countries. So you know the big six, if I reel them out. And so these guys came and saw what they like. I think the discussions went on for over a year because the Japanese still are kind of cautious when they make acquisitions. And by the way, this was just a simple majority. They didn't share what was the amount they actually took. It was a simple majority. But they said that there'll be absolutely no change in management of iPay88. So Lim Kok King and Chan Kok Long, the founders, and there's another third founder whose name escapes me, but they will remain on board and they'll just be driving strategy and execution. So one was to position squarely in the online payment space. And the other one, according to Masahiro Kawai, Kawai, of course, is cute in Japanese for you, if you know. But he's the head of NTT's data cards, Kawai. Mm. Okay, got that right. Head of NTT's data cards and payment services division. He says another reason is because they want to capitalize on the growing demand for cross-border online payments between Japan and other markets in Asia-Pacific, especially Southeast Asia. In terms of the consumer, he said there's a lot of travel going on between Japanese and this region, and also from the business segment. And they just want to be have a space in a company that's already embedded here. So it's great for iPay88 guys. I think they've been running their payment system for like 8 years or 9 years. And it actually was an offshoot. If people remember, they actually started out with Mobile88. That was their content portal, right, in the personal tech space. And then there was a need for launching this, and they did. And for some reason, this gained more traction, and they just went with it. So they still got Mobile88, but they've got this too. Right. So they're quite excited about it. And I think with the strong technology that NTT offers, also according to NTT, they're going to be rolling out new and revolutionary online payment solutions in Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam. So you wonder what's going to be so revolutionary, but NTT now for iPay88, they've got this huge company behind them, a lot of cutting edge technology. Or layered on top of what they're going to do. So it'll be interesting to see how deep they can get into the other five ASEAN countries they're in. Because, of course, Malaysia is the biggest market. Right. NTT said that they like the technology and also the products, merchant base that iPay88 has. And I think those of you who shop online are quite familiar with iPay88. They always have an option, right?
Yep. I mean, I've paid many things.
Yeah, I've paid a few things to them.
I think you just stay in the game long enough and just prove yourself.
And keep building. Stay in the game is one thing you do. And they've been growing. Right. And so they've done a good job. It's great. And now, Malaysian companies have been on the radar of Japanese companies anyway. So this is another good sign, and they'll keep building the regional business.
All right. And Hong Leong Bank has launched a biometric feature for its mobile banking app, but they're not the first, right? Yeah. So what is their value proposition?
So, here's the thing. You don't need to be the first because another competitor has launched a service first, a sexy feature, biometrics, right? It doesn't mean that all your customers or even your tier one customers or your most advanced, tech-savvy customers are going to run there. You still have time to do it. So I think the first company, Maybank, launched their biometric app feature in May or June. And then now Hong Leong has followed. And of course, Hong Leong is aware of this. And the CEO of the MD of their Islamic bank, Rajate Maimuna, says, yes, we know we're not the first. But she says that, but this is where, because you want to improve on what's already out in the market, right? She says that they're the first to allow customers not just to check their balance, but also to allow them to conduct transactions. And some of these transactions are transferring funds and making contactless ATM withdrawals, as well as enabling retail merchants, to make payments. And that was interesting because I was there last week for the launch of this, and I was actually there to talk to her about the overall digital strategy. So that story will come out either tomorrow or Monday. But she was just, and one of her executives there who was in merchant acquisition was sharing how they checked with their staff in Hong Leong, in Jalan Perak, right? Or Jalan Tun Perak, the office is that. And asked them which of the neighboring retail outlets they frequented a lot. And this was a clay pot chicken shop. And then she walks over there one day and tells the merchant, you know, and he said, hey, who are you? May say, look, a lot of my staff come here. So, oh, okay, a customer, right? Mm. And I explained to him and his wife about the value of this, and they managed to convince them to try it. And she says the merchant is just excited. She even gave me his number to go and talk to him because he will share his experience. Basically, when you're a merchant and you're in your cash business, you have lots of cash and coins, right? Mm. Every few days, you tend to want to make a trip to the bank and deposit that. Now with this, with a fair portion of their customers already making this contactless payment through Hong Leong's platform, they call it Hong Leong Connect, right? It's a lot more convenient. Third player. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, I'm not aware of the third one, the second one then.
I can't remember the first one, but Maybank was the second.
Oh, Maybank was the second.
So
this okay.
is third player.
So even Rajate thought that Maybank was the first. So the space is there. But, you know, what interesting thing is, she said that they're doing it with their customer in mind, right? Everything that you do using technology, make sure that it adds value to your customers. And then they will stay loyal with you.
Yeah. You know, and I think also like with businesses, right? And I was just having a conversation this morning. You know, you've got to learn to disrupt your own business.
Yeah.
Before somebody else comes and disrupt you. So better you disrupt your own business than someone else does.
And it's not been easy for Rajate. You know, she was a merchant banker before. Then she became an Islamic banker. And then when she came into Hong Leong in 2011, at that time, they already had their Hong Leong Connect platform. And they had a version one of an app out there. And she felt it was not enough. She was quite shrewd in saying that, look, it was just something that the IT department pushed out so that they can tick the box and say, yes, we're digital. Go ahead, you're going to say something.
And I don't think there's any, and I think we do need more players, right? Yeah, I mean, there's enough market for
everybody. Oh, yeah, every bank has enough customers, right? So they will all be rolling this out. So she came in, and when she saw that, she said, this is not enough. It's just like a Me Too product. She said, we need to do more. So because she's the CEO of Hong Leong Islamic Bank, so at the senior level management meeting, she would say, hey, we need to do more. Mm. Until one day, the boss said, you know, since you're just harassing everyone, why don't you do it? And then she said, okay, why not? But then the big boss of Hong Leong, you know, the chairman, Tan Sri Kwek Lek Chan, she didn't use his name, but she said the big boss then, you know, asked me, you know, what makes you think you can do it? And she says, look, I'm your most enthusiastic executive about this. And then she added, and I also know what I don't know. And what I don't know, sir, I will find out about it, you know. So you see that kind of eagerness, right?
Right.
So she is heading like their digital, you know, initiative for the bank. And lots of interesting going on. She said internally there was a battle because when you form a new unit and then like you ask for a budget for it and all banks will say, okay, what's your ROI? Yeah. And digital is really, she said, like it's a blank canvas, right? We need to build this. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to learn as we go along, but learn fast. Mm. So you cannot measure my team on the traditional metrics of ROI. Yeah. And that's and she's been winning that battle, but it's been slow. But till today, when one of her staff said they're still fighting that battle so that they don't get measured by the ROI yet, because this is just a new area for them. But they've been making an impact, and merchants now, so this one of the merchants, not the clay pot one, started using their product. And then you know what he does? Suddenly he says, hey, can I just open a can I get a loan from you guys? Can I get a current account from you guys? So suddenly, you know, he's got a relationship in a product that's right. And in making it more convenient for him, bringing in more customers because they can suddenly pay without cash. And he say, hey, I like these guys. So you start doing more with them. And now they've got some merchants porting over, and they're suddenly now slowly making inroads into the SME base too, and getting more involved.
And it's got to go back to what banking is all about, relationships.
Yes.
Or any business that's service related.
Absolutely.
Anyway, right.
So quite exciting. And it's just nice to see executives talk, and they were just so passionate, Frida, because they saw that they were making an impact with their merchants, you know. And it's just really nice to see.
And the next story, moving from banking to insurance, and also the story around digital, but we'll discuss that after this with Karmjit Singh from Digital News Asia, Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Bending fickle minds, BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. This is Frida Liu. Karmjit Singh from Digital News Asia here with me. And what we're going through? We're going through the tech ecosystem. Yeah. Very Malaysian-centric. You know, you go to Singapore a little later. Yeah. We were talking earlier on about Hong Leong Bank and their biometric feature for its mobile banking app. And from banking to the insurance industry, digital will win the war. Is this news, though?
Yeah, so maybe it's not to people in the industry, but as the CEO who said this, you know, the CEO of MetLife Insurance, Ramzi Tubasi, mm-hmm. he says that while they understand this, the problem is that the bad news is that we are a dinosaur. The insurance industry is still a dinosaur. So now what he says is that, yes, how an insurance industry competes in the future is not going to be how well, it's not going to depend on its products, its offer, but rather on how it executes on the digital strategy, right? And he's talking at our What's Next conference from 2 weeks ago. And he says that what's going to happen is that some companies are going to digitize faster than the rest. And whoever gives the customer experience, whoever gives their customer, you see, back to the customer again, right? Just like the bank, an experience of a lifetime from the beginning, servicing them to the end, is going to win. And when he says it's a dinosaur, because, you know, you look with your banks now, you can go online and you can check on your accounts, your balance and all stuff, and you can transfer money and all that. Try going online to your insurance portal and finding out about your own policy.
Hmm.
And he says that a lot of times, even, you know, if you call your company and ask them for certain information about your account, it could take a very long time. His own words, it could take a very long time just because most of insurance are not ready for that type of demand from their customers.
Yeah.
So you know that too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I know, I mean, my insurance company, I still get the yearly CD from them, you know, incredible, right? And this is one of the world's largest companies. I get a CD, I should keep that, you know, it's like a memorial, right? This is insane. So that's why when he said all these things, I said it's really true. But while the industry is a dinosaur and some of them are trying to move faster than the rest because they see opportunity, when your peers are not, you know, on the ball, if you get on the ball quicker and faster, you can maybe win some customers.
Yeah.
He said the good news about the insurance industry is that people are going to continue to die.
Mm.
They're going to continue to face accidents and they will continue to live too long, which is not a problem, but they will fail to plan for their future. So as long as these three characteristics are there, our life insurance companies will continue to be there.
In this case, in the people's life, a change is not a constant in this case. You know, things will happen.
Things will happen, yeah. So, you know, so he just talks about what's going on with that. And then we had a guy from Accenture saying that, you know, these guys have to strike a balance. Right? Simple insurance products, you can do it online. But for more complicated ones, maybe you'll still need that agent's expertise. And actually, both Tubasi and Deepan Mehta from Accenture, who was speaking, said that the role of the agents will still be there.
Mm.
You just have to provide a much more personalized and expert, you know, advice and opinion to them. And even Rajate, when she was talking about digital strategy, say at some point, you have you maybe have 300 branches, but, you know, your branches may be 2,000 square feet.
Right.
But hey, you're not going to need that large a space anymore, that many people, right? It shrinks down your footprint,
mm-hmm.
and your people just offer better service. So while we talk about a high-tech and very digital society, conversely, you're going to see the high-touch factor become much more valuable because it's just going to be much more valuable to do, right?
Mm.
You go and see someone, you really get the A to Z of what you need to know. So the expertise of people who are in the service industry, because banking and insurance is in service industry, right? It's just going to get so much more and they're going to add much more value to you when you want that, you know, face-to-face contact.
Mm.
So they're all going for that. So it's kind of interesting. We didn't plan it, but you had the banking thing and then you had this insurance thing, right? So the CEOs all are aware, but they need to get a balancing act together because Rajate said that, you know, like her bosses still want to try to measure the digital unit in the traditional measure.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're trying to eke value out of what you're doing, you need to convince them, don't measure us this way, because if you do, then no staff will want to come in and join this unit because they're being measured unrealistically, right? And even Tubasi said that if he had gone to his board and says, look, I want you to give me so much of money and I'm going to do this and do that, and then I'm not sure if it's going to work out, you know, in the immediate term. He said, by the time I finish the conversation and walk back to my office, I'll find the security guard there escorting, getting my tag and escorting me out of the building.
Right.
So very interesting analogy from him just to show the balancing act that CEOs, you know, have to make with their boards. And if you're an entrepreneur like the Hong Leong Bank, convince the old school entrepreneurs that this is the way to go. Mm. I think they all know it's the way to go, but they're just balancing things up. But really, the balance is now digital has to be much more of a skew because that's where the customers are going, right? Year in, year out. And for all of you out there, a very good site for you to go and just get a pulse of how Malaysian consumers are moving digital, go to this site called consumerbarometer.com.
Mm-hmm.
and that's run by Google. Right. And then and search for Malaysia, and you'll see a large yeah. number of questions they've asked. You know? Yeah. And that's a great site for everyone to go to. For all students out there, if you're doing anything also, go to this site. It really gives you a pulse, right? It gives you a feel of the pulse of the digital, you know, landscape of Malaysia from the customer, from the consumer point of view, from a citizen point of view. I just want to get Google to make sure next year they also make sure the 3.5 million migrant workers take part in the survey. Mm. Then you got a more balanced survey,
right?
Yeah,
real view. Yeah. Speaking of college students, job seeking Gen Y and Gen Z can now do it via videos. Again, anything new? What's the differentiator?
So very interesting. A headhunter called me up this morning. He read the article and he said, "Hey, Karam, you know,
offering your job."
No. telling me to stop spamming him with my resume, man.
Digital News Asia, how's it doing?
Yes, No. You just warned me. Please, I don't want your resume anymore, man.
He's trying to unsubscribe from you.
Yeah, so I've been harassing him. Like, no, he read this story about this startup, Paw. Interesting name, Pawsy Nudity. Not nudity, sorry. I was trying not to say the word.
Okay.
Pawsy-tunity, like opportunity. Oh. Pawsy-tunity, yes, in Eberhard. So what
they're... impossibility.
Pawsy-nudity. Yeah, it's a real tongue twister,
which
right?
It's going to be a bit of a challenge, right?
Yes, exactly.
You know, when you want to go on site, how to spell.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Even how to say it. So people on radio and on TV probably just skip. We'll not talk about this company. Anyway, they've now introduced their Wow Intro online video. It's an online video impression platform. Why impression? Specifically targeted at Gen X and Gen... Gen Y and Gen Z job seekers. And his idea is that this is a 30-second video and you can upload your CV or so, but this 30-second clip helps you make that first impression. And because he did some casual research, according so the entrepreneur,
he's not the first, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the entrepreneur's name is Alex Pang. He's a former student of Taylor's University, mm-hmm. and it was very nice of Taylor's to allow him to have his media preview at Taylor's campus Lakeside. Yeah. So that's how your alma mater supports you. Yeah. Very nice. So he was there. So he was saying that he did casual research about a year ago through personal interviews and meeting about 100 companies, and he found that 55% of employers make a decision to hire an individual within the first 90 seconds of an interview. But the average interview lasts for 45 minutes. Mm. And he said, even if it wasn't for the first 90 seconds, it's still within 5 minutes, the person would have left an impression, good or bad.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, right? So he said, with Gen Z and Gen X being a very visual generation, he says this is the right way to go. And it helps the employers then to cut down that 45 minutes of actually sitting down, right? So, but then... For all Malaysians, look, guess what? Most of these interviews are going to be done in English, right?
Mm.
So that for all of you out there, you know, to be able to speak and express yourself in English becomes even more important. Irrespective of whether you think it's fair or unfair, really for a large number of employers, right, who are going to use this platform are going to be those who are going to probably want to interview in English, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a challenge for them. But so he's launching the platform. This is like the official launch is going to be a few months because they're still developing a version for smartphones, and that's going to be simultaneous release for iOS and Android. And Dato' Wei Chuan Beng was there also, mm-hmm. Talking about his experience in the employment workforce. So Wei was interesting. Is interesting, not was, because he said that, "I believe all of you out there who want to jump into the entrepreneurship space should first get a job. Get a 9-to-8 job, you know, because nobody works 9-to-5 anymore. Get a 9-to-8 job and then, you know, learn the chops and understand and appreciate, you know, the challenges that established companies face. Learn your own weaknesses, your strengths of working with people, and then leave." So he didn't say whether you need to do it for 2 years or 3 years, but I figured at least 2 years, right?
I am of the same belief.
You believe, really? Yeah. I don't think so. I think now with the way the opportunities are, if you're doing something pure digital, you just
probably
go in and execute, and there are enough people out there. Don't agree with me so easily, Frida.
No. Okay, I'm also okay. I don't agree with you. I'm just listening only. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, me nodding agree. It's this whole idea. Even if you just do a pure digital thing, okay, you start an app. Okay, mm-hmm. and the app is successful. You're gonna need a team of people, and you have to start managing your team.
Yeah.
So that work experience of having worked with people will come in handy.
I disagree. I don't think so. Look, I worked with my previous employer for 17 years almost, and I had 2 years before that. I had 19 years of work experience before coming out, and within our second year, we hired someone who within 90 days, I think, no, within 60 days, me and my Aswan and Edwin kind of realized he wasn't working out. And then, but we kind of just stayed on and tried to give him more leeway and say, grow into this, you're not meeting out. And then ended up working with us for a certain period of time and really should have cut him off after 3 months. And I didn't have the ruthlessness to do that. And you need to at some point, because you're on a tight budget, correct? Mm. And that was before we raised the $1 million from Vincent Lee. Mm. You're on a tight budget, you should, and that could have brought the company down, you know?
Mm.
So even with me, 19 years of experience, it didn't help me to make that decision.
Okay, so that's just who you are, right? And that's, I don't know if that's got to do with, but dealing with people, working with people, you know, maybe you weren't so much involved in the hiring and firing in your previous
place. No, I was involved in hiring, but not firing.
Yeah. So that's the thing,
Yeah, but so you, how many people are? You know, if you work within 2 years, Frida, you're not going to be involved in the firing.
So that's just maybe who you are, because you're not a ruthless person.
Yeah, I want to be, man. I want to be, man. Ruthless, brutal.
You're fired.
Fired, yeah. Fire okay. myself first.
Singapore.
I am trying to fire myself.
So am I. Can we get someone else to come on?
Yes.
That doesn't put me through stress. Singapore moves to solve ICT talent crunch. What do you mean?
Yeah, okay, so this is so interesting, right? This is the country that has a 24/7 happy hours, you know, with talent coming from Malaysia going there.
Yeah.
And yet they say they have a talent crunch. And very interesting, I shared the article on my Facebook page and I got a few people, you know, sharing their thoughts with me. Mm. One guy said, you know, you want to solve your talent crunch, just open up your talent pipeline, just open up the doors to talent from India. Mm. That'll solve the problem.
Yes.
But maybe not.
No.
So there was one guy on my who shared a posting that he was just in Singapore 2 weeks ago and is talking to engineering and IT companies, and they were complaining that they couldn't get enough talent. And they said that their talent, right, whether it's foreign or Singapore talent that was in Singapore, were using Singapore as a stepping stone to still get to the mother of all employment.
America.
Yeah, America, you know. And I was very surprised to hear that happening today. I knew that was happening like 3-4 years ago. I didn't think that was happening now. And then there was a bit of conversation about Singapore being so pricey and you really need to be paid New York kind of rates, you know. Mm. But, I mean, the country is doing I won't say they have been. They are still doing a great job in managing that balance. But so this was kind of a surprising thing. So they've partnered with this company called General Assembly and something called a Career Accelerator. It's a program aimed for both young and mid-career professionals. So that program is going on now. And, you know, it's not cheaper. The program, and they're only taking in like 20 people, right?
Right.
Per cohort, 25, maximum 20 per course. How much can you make a difference in the ecosystem?
Mm.
And the cost, and this cost is for user, there are three programs they're doing, which is on user design experience and then a web development immersive.
Right.
Okay, interesting. So it's costing Frida $11,500 for one program over 8 weeks. And the other one is for $10,000. But Singaporeans will enjoy a 70% subsidy.
Okay.
So, and this is through IDA, Infocom Development Authority. So, they're trying to work it out so that Singaporeans can go in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're non-Singaporean, of course, you got to pay the full cost. But so, these are the various things. So, it's not just like our government here doing a lot of things and MDEC especially, and Talent Corp trying to make things happen and deepen the talent pool.
Right.
Even Singapore, which enjoys talent coming in from all over Southeast Asia, right?
Mm.
So it tells you the scale of the challenge local companies here face as they try to hire good talent, Dini.
Right. I know it's tough in Singapore.
Super.
That's all the time we have for this week.
Okay.
Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia until the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Chakaday.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.